This episode of the Columbia Basin Herald Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by the Moses Lake Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber works to help businesses in and around Moses Lake flourish through networking opportunities, member-to-member savings for products and services, and connecting businesses with the resources they need to make Moses Lake a wonderful place to live, work, and play. For more information, visit moseslake.com or call the Chamber at 509-765-7888. Again, that's 509-765-7888. Hi, everybody. My name is Ian Bavona. I'm the sports reporter here with the Columbia Basin Herald. I'm joined in the studio today by Cheryl Schweitzer, our senior reporter here with the Herald. Cheryl, this is actually our 50th episode of the podcast.
Really?
It is, yeah.
Seriously? Wow.
It's pretty...
We're coming up on our one-year anniversary. We're going to have to, have a cake or something. At least a cupcake.
Yeah. But yeah, welcome to our...
I didn't realize we've been doing it that long.
Yeah, time's really flown by.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Yes, it has.
So welcome to this August 18th edition of the Studio Basin podcast. That's the day we're recording on Friday, Fair Week. But we've got a couple of headlines we want to touch on before we talk a little bit about the fair. I know last night you mentioned that there was the name released of a shooting victim. You want to talk to us a little bit about that?
Sad story to lead off.
Yes.
The shooting occurred last Sunday in Moses Lake. A man was killed. He's been identified. He was identified Thursday night as Jeremy Flores, 36. Two other Moses Lake residents were shot at the same time, ages 16 and 18. They're expected to recover. The police department hasn't released a lot of information about this case. So we don't know. There's been a lot of rumors flying, but we don't know anything other basically officially than the victim's name and the fact that two other people were wounded. I know that there's been some other things said, heard about, whatever, but none of that stuff has been confirmed yet. But our sympathies go out to Mr. Flores' family and the family of the other two victims.
Mm-hmm,
for sure.
And you said the other two victims are expected to make a recovery.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's good. That's
like I said, there were rumors about what happened, but nothing official has been released yet.
Mm-hmm.
So
gotcha.
We can't confirm or deny any of the other stories that are out there.
I gotcha. And then I know we had a couple of news from some local city
councils. Yeah, we had some things go on, various city councils around here. It was Fair Week, but other things did happen during Fair Week. For most people spend a lot of time out at the fair during Fair Week, but occasionally something else happens. Soap Lake got a new city council member. Fred Slipper was appointed to the council at their Wednesday meeting. He replaces Bill Bratton, who resigned in July. Mr. Slipper was the only applicant for that. And in Othello, we had John Erickson, who resigned from the council. He moved out of town. Still lives in the Othello area, but he's outside the city limits. The council decided not to fill his position because there is a contested race for that seat, and they decided to wait and let the voters decide who would fill that position on the council. And I should point out that the primary election was certified last week. I believe on Tuesday. So all the races are solidified for city councils, hospital boards, school boards, fire district boards, all these other things. And we will be at least sending out questionnaires to all those candidates so you can look for, with any luck, some pretty substantial Q&A sessions with all those candidates in the coming weeks in the Columbia Basin Herald.
Definitely.
And then there was fair.
There was
a lot of fair. And the first 3 days it was hot.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I went to go for a couple minutes to go see if something was going on earlier in the week. I didn't wear the best clothes. I wore a black polo and khakis. And I think it was about 106 degrees outside.
When it was 108 outside, yes.
Yeah, that was a bit of a rookie mistake on my part. I've been here for a little over a year now, but I'm still learning the intricacies. I'm used to humidity, not dry heat.
Not dry heat. And I was there, I think it was Tuesday around noon, and a very happy sounding person came on the intercom and announced to the fairgoers that it was officially 100 degrees.
I don't know if that's something I'd want to
and
hear.
And to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
We did talk a little bit about keeping cool at the fair and some of the stuff you could do. We talked with kids who showed horses. We talked with kids who showed pigs. And believe me, some of those FFA kids are pretty tough because they had to be out there in the arena in boots, in long pants, a shirt with long sleeves, and that corduroy jacket, which is not light, and a tie.
Oh.
Out there chasing a pig or a steer or a lamb around. But they did it. They did a good job. The livestock sale was today as we are recording this.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow is the last day for the Moses Lake Roundup and the fair in general. So the weather is supposed to be much better. It's already much cooler today. It's supposed to be cooler tomorrow. So if you're listening on Friday or Saturday, go out and enjoy the fair.
Mm-hmm, definitely. What's been your favorite part of the fair so far?
I always like the animal stuff because the kids put a lot into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. They raise those animals all summer long, and you do it whether it's cold or hot, or the animal has to be fed every day whether you want to or not.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go out there and work with it so that you can get it to where it needs to be. You see guys, one poor guy, I felt so sorry for this kid. It was hot, the pig was cranky.
Mm-hmm.
Pigs get very cranky when it's hot.
I get cranky when it's hot, so I can imagine.
And the pig did not want to be in the arena, and he made it clear by charging his owner.
Oh.
And the kid was smart, he just, you know, hopped on the pig's back, but that was not how you're supposed to show an animal in the ring. And, you know, one pig ran away. The little girl who was trying to show it, she was almost the same size as the pig.
Ma.
Couldn't quite get it to come back to her and needed some help. And showing a pig, showing a steer, showing a lamb, even a chicken, is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And those kids do a very good job. And they are to be congratulated for the work they do.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Congratulations to everyone that participated in the fair. It's been a fun week. I'm looking forward to the last 2 days coming up. And we'll
more rodeo.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the demo and the rodeo coming up
yes,
in the sports section.
In the sports section.
All righty. I think
and
that's a good transition for
I
us to be
I think that's a
there.
Great segue from one to the other.
All righty.
The next segment of the Studio Basin podcast is brought to you by Sue's Gift Boutique at 212 West 3rd Avenue in Moses Lake. Stop by Sue's to explore a variety of items, including ladies' apparel, candles, hobo purses, items for infants, Ilse Jacobs and shoes, and jewelry. Stop in and support a Columbia Basin business with local roots. And on a personal note, she's got some pretty cool stuff in there. Okay, that brings us to the sports segment and our ace sports reporter, Ian Bavona,
who has traveled the country,
the county, and the country, and the region from one end to the other this week.
I definitely have.
Ian, take it away.
We'll get into why a little bit later, but I want to start off with Moses Lake BMX. They're hosting their Race for Life next week at the Larson BMX track in Moses Lake.
What day is that?
It is Friday, August 25th.
Okay.
So the Race for Life is part of a thing that USA BMX does, where BMX tracks across the country host these races for life, and it raises money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Okay.
We talked a little bit in the story earlier
right.
this week about why kind of all came about. Basically, I believe it was in the 80s,
right.
there was a BMXer from Michigan who was diagnosed with leukemia at the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
And the Race for Life started around then to help
mm-hmm.
raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Okay.
Last year, the Moses Lake BMX raised, it was about $5,000.
Wow.
And they're
okay.
hoping to surpass that this year.
All right.
It's part of a four-track series with tracks in Tri-Cities, Spokane, and Walla Walla.
And we should mention that when we say four-track series, we mean four-track series over 3 days.
Yes. It's it starts with Moses Lake on Friday, and then Saturday morning is, I believe Saturday morning is Tri-Cities, Saturday afternoon is Spokane, and then Walla Walla is Sunday morning.
That's a lot of bike riding.
It is. And the races in, the race in Moses Lake is a double point race, which basically means you get double points for your standings
mm-hmm.
at the end of the year. And one of the other ones is too, I just can't remember. It's
mm-hmm.
all in the story on ColumbiaBasinHerald.com. Good
Which
plug.
Is an excellent reason to look at our website
mm-hmm.
and check out that story.
Definitely. But yeah, I think I'm going to be there next Friday. I'm looking
okay.
forward to it. A lot of fun last year. Remember that.
Okay.
Now, moving into the fair.
Yeah.
As we do during fair week. I was at the AgriService Demolition Derby on Wednesday.
Okay.
It was a two-night derby that happened on Tuesday and Wednesday. And it was a lot of fun.
Okay. I was going to say, you have said you are a rookie. I believe this is the second... No, the third demo derby you've ever seen.
Second.
Second demo. Okay.
I went to Othello's last year for a little bit to grab some pictures.
Uh-huh.
But this was the first one I was there for the full time for. And it was pretty
What'd
intense.
What'd you think of it?
I thought it was cool.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Getting close enough to be safe and also take pictures. You get a lot of dirt flying on you. It helps you get engaged in it, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
The crowd was awesome. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So there was nearly 200 drivers.
Wow.
Across the two nights.
Uh-huh.
They competed in various events. There were the heat races, the pickup demo, the Australian Pursuit, Powder Puff races, figure eight, trophy dash, and more.
Okay. And the little kids in the electric cars.
Yes.
With the balloons.
I think that was one of my favorite parts, actually. There was the Power
Those
Wheels.
Those kids so get into it.
Yeah, there was the Power Wheels demo on Wednesday before the show, about an hour before everything got started. It's like, you know, the Power Wheel toy cars
right.
that you get for your, like, your four-year-old.
Right.
It's those, and they put balloons on them, and
mm-hmm.
all the little kids get in on the track in the rodeo arena at the fairgrounds, and they all just drive into each other and try to pop them. You could see, like, there's the kids, like, sticking their tongue out, focused, trying
uh-huh.
to, like, ram into the other cars. There was one that looked like the monster truck Gravedigger.
Oh, okay.
And it's, like, driving into this little... tiny Barbie car. I don't know how to describe it except the fact that it was like it was the real derby. All those kids were so into it. That was really cool to see. But yeah, the derby went well.
Is it intense?
It was intense.
Okay.
All the kids were very into it. And then they got to do a lap around the track.
Yeah, not just
cool.
that, but the derby itself.
Oh, yeah.
The adult drivers get into it too.
Oh,
I
definitely.
Mean, can...
You can tell. Like, I know they're wearing helmets when they come out, but sometimes they'll take them off and like you can see the cheers. They did well, the not so happy faces if they didn't do well, if they got turned out really easy or anything like that. But it was really cool to see. I love the designs that people do on their cars. People get very creative.
Mm-hmm.
I love the lights too. Some people, there was one car on Wednesday, I think it was during the Powder Puff races. It looked like a police car.
Really?
There was like the, I tried to get a picture of it, but it didn't show up well on the camera.
Uh-huh.
But there was like the, you know, like the police lights,
right.
whatever they were called, on top of the car.
Right, the light bar.
Yeah, the light bar. Those were flashing blue and red. That was really cool to see. But yeah, I was talking with Alex Alvarado, who is one of the board of directors with the Moses Lake Roundup, kind of oversees the derby. And he was saying that the track was a little rough on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
but after that night of racing and then smoothing it out, or after that night of racing on Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
then smoothing it out during the night leading up to Wednesday, it was really smooth on Wednesday, allowed for better races,
mm-hmm.
and less dirt and stuff getting kicked up into the crowd. So.
And I think we should probably make the point that when we say demo derby, they're not just crashing into each other. They are racing.
Oh, yes, they are racing. There was the heat races, like I mentioned, those led up to winners races later
uh-huh.
in the evening. So yeah, people were competing out there. It wasn't just you know, ramming into each other.
Yeah, smashing
with the
cars. Into each other. It was true racing.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it was really cool. I can't wait for next year.
Well, there's one more in Othello.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
So but yes, can't wait till next year. And can't wait till Othello.
Yeah.
They are fun.
And then also in the rodeo arena was the rodeo.
The rodeo.
We
should say this is their 80th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
as they call it, the Oak anniversary.
Yeah, and you could definitely,
80 years.
They're definitely celebrating out there. The stands were packed on Thursday. Everyone's getting really into it. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I got there for the second half of the rodeo last night. I'm going to go for the first half tonight, and then the full show on Saturday. I'm looking forward to seeing all those competitors out there. Yeah, it got kicked off Thursday night, runs through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
There's riders from around the Columbia Basin, the state, the country. I think I heard someone was from Australia last night.
Really?
I know last year there was a competitor, I think it was in the tie down roping, from Brazil.
Wow.
So
okay.
And then there's competitors from Canada. They're really just coming from all over the place. So it's a real big deal out there.
Yeah.
And then so the results can be compiled over the 3 days of the rodeo. In the paper, we'll have results from the first two nights in Monday's paper.
Okay.
And then we'll have full results on Tuesday, just kind of how it works with our print schedule.
Right. And we will have a gallery of pictures, and Ian's got some really good ones. I've already seen some. He's got some good ones.
Thank you. But yeah, a lot of fair stuff this week.
And this is like your third rodeo. You're almost a rookie rodeo guy too.
Yeah. Not my first rodeo, but it is. I'm still
It's
still
not his third first rodeo, it's his third rodeo. What's that like?
I definitely know everything a lot more. When I went to Moses Lake Roundup last year, that was the first time I'd ever been to a rodeo. Surprisingly, they're not very popular in Northern Virginia. Last year between every event, I was Googling, what is this? Now I recognize, okay, that's steer wrestling. That's
okay.
That's tie down roping. That's breakaway roping. That's barrel racing. So I'm definitely I'm learning everything.
Okay.
It took me a while, but I'm learning stuff now.
All
right. Awesome. But yeah, just a bit of a preview for you guys. On August 30th, we're going to have our Gridiron Guide, which previews all of the local football teams coming into their 2023 season. We're going to have stories on all 11 schools. It's 11 schools now. It's not 10. Mosley Christian Academy has a football team now.
Okay. And it's an 8-man team.
It is an 8-man team.
Which is a little bit different and quite interesting football.
Yeah.
Ian is a former football player, so he knows football pretty well.
Mm. 8-man games are fun.
They are.
The scores are, it looks like basketball scores
when
you look at them. It's like,
you know, 76 to 72, and you're like, that can't be a football score. But
yeah. Looking at the stats from them are always very fun, too, because it's like 50 yards passing, 450 yards rushing. But yeah.
And the reason that Ian was scouring the entire Columbia Basin Herald circulation area yesterday was because he went from Elmira Cooley Heartline to Ritzville to talk to coaches and players for the Gridiron Guide.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have previews of pretty much all the teams from our area, from Cooley City to Ritzville, Quincy to Moses Lake to Othello to Mattawa, Waluk. So,
yeah, get excited. Football season's right around the corner. I think we're recording this on a Friday. We're only 2 weeks from kickoff of the
Wow, so the first game is going to be September
2nd.
September 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm counting down the days.
Football is your sport.
It definitely
one of them.
Is. Yeah. Football, basketball, baseball. I just love all sports.
Yeah. And I know that you were new to wrestling, too. And you kind of got into that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a big wrestling fan now. I thank the fans and the parents of the Columbia Basin for helping me get into wrestling, because all of the fan engagement you see at these duels, at these tournaments, it's the best.
Yeah.
It really stacks up against everything.
The crowds aren't huge, but everybody who's there is there because they love wrestling.
Mm, definitely.
Okay.
All right. I think that's going to do it for...
Well, we do have one more thing.
Oh, just kidding.
The nominations are open for the Best of the Basin contest for 2023. That is a contest that we sponsor, and people go on to the website, which is listed in our newspaper, and I think will be in most days. The actual website where you can go on and look, there's a web address in an ad in our paper, and I think that's going to be in pretty much every day. It'll be in the Daily Digest that we send out to, or also. And what you do is you go in, there's all sorts of categories, crazy and you know, everything crazy and not crazy. Everything from the best restaurant to, you know, the best shopping center, whatever. And you can go in and nominate who you like, and I think you can explain a little bit about why.
Mm-hmm.
And the winners are announced, I believe, in early December. There's a special tab that we put out.
Mm-hmm.
that gives you which was the best restaurant and, you know, tobacco shop or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So look for that in the newspaper and on our social media. The link to the website where you can nominate people also will be there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And this is probably not the last you'll hear of that, but this is the first you'll hear of that. Okay, now we should be done for the day. Or the podcast, I guess.
Yeah.
The Studio Basin podcast is produced by the Columbia Basin Herald, a local newspaper serving Grant and Adams counties in Washington State. Our publisher is Clint Schroeder, and our regional general manager is Bob Richardson. Our managing editor is Rob Miller, and our reporting staff consists of senior reporter Cheryl Schweitzer, staff writer and paginator Joel Martin, sports reporter Ian Bavona, and staff writer Gabriel Davis. The Columbia Basin Herald is published 5 days a week in print and online. The paper's website is www.columbiabasinherald.com. To provide feedback on the paper or the podcast, please email us at editor@columbiabasinherald.com. And thank you for listening, and we will see you next Friday.